The following program is paid for by Little John Financial Services. The opinions and views expressed may not reflect those of Brook Communications, its affiliates, or its employees.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now presented by Little John Financial Services. It's David Little John with True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, it's that time of the week. It is time for the True Wealth Radio Show on this, the greatest Tuesday you've had all week. And I am in studio with my main man,
Matt Dixon.
All right, Matt, I'm stoked because today we're going to talk about a little less about, you know, the economy and all this stuff that we often get sucked into. Today, I want to talk to our listeners and potential future investors out there and really get a sense of, you know, what are the things that you can do? Well, one, how can you assess where you are at sort of mentally and emotionally with your finances?
Yeah, like in this moment, in today's moment in time, like where are you at?
Yeah. And this is a you question. It's like, hey, how do I know if I'm kind of thinking about this the right way? So we're going to talk about, well, how can you assess that? And then based on what you sort of self-assess, what are the things that I can do to then start to improve my financial outlook from that point?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so the idea here is, this is one of those shows that if you ever think, maybe I should go get the podcast or whatever, this is one of those that maybe follow up later. And if you don't get to listen to the whole show, we're going to try to do this in such a way that, we're going to cover it over the course of the entire radio show. So that's the topic of the day.
I like it.
And even though it's broken up, if you're joining at different points, I'm going to say, go get the podcast so you can hear the whole thing. Because again, we're going to try to lay this out in sequence for everybody. And then also you can like grab it off YouTube and stuff later.
Perfect.
Okay.
That's what I like to hear.
So the first thing, you know, when we started talking about this, Matt, as we were doing show prep, I kind of asked, well, you brought up a point, and I want to give you a chance to sort of explain this.
Sure.
You said that your impression, one, it was actually, it's funny, it's about me. It's like, Dave, you're not terribly normal. And
in the best way possible.
I want you to explain to the listeners, because otherwise they just hear me talk too much. What do you mean? And then I may challenge that, but maybe I'll just like lick my wounds. Go on.
Yeah. So I think you're the type of person, right, that has the ability to look out into the future and say, like, you know, where do I want to be? How do I want to get there? And then you set things up to try and accomplish those goals, right? And so you're not the type of person that just wakes up and is like, well, today is the day, right? Like, I'm going to make all my dreams come true today. And so you live for that moment. No, like, you're able to delay some gratification or whatever it takes to achieve those long-term goals. And my point was like, hey, you know, we're at kind of a weird point in time, like, where I think a lot of people have, like, gotten into this mindset that I just got to live for today, and wherever the chips land in the future is kind of where they land. And I think that it's becoming more and more rare for people to kind of plan for their financial future. And so I'm like, why don't we try and talk to those people, like, where if you are that person where you're like, yeah, I don't really have a plan for what it looks like 20 years from today. Like, maybe it's one of those things where it's like, well, we're going to help you kind of establish that and lean into it. Like, well, yeah, you are that person. And then what are the things that you can do to maybe help yourself just get a little bit better so that you're not so stressed about your future?
And if this sounds super yawn and you're like, oh, they're going to talk about plan. Okay. I don't think we're trying to talk about planning like envision 20 years from now.
No.
That's actually not what we're talking about. I think what we're trying to talk about is this idea that, do you plan to be here in 20 years? And if the answer is yes, do you have any idea? I mean, this is the simple but silly question. Do you want your life to be as good or better than it is right now?
Right. And it doesn't even have to be 20 years from now. Do you have a plan for where things are 3 years from now or 3 months from now?
So let's do the test.
Sure.
Like, there's a little bit of a test. So this is kind of a, like, let's just self-assess. So if you're out there listening,
Someone's like riding around in their car right now, and they're
Still safe in the car. Okay, I guess I want to say, do you have an idea what you're going to have for dinner tonight?
First question. Meatloaf. Right? Okay.
Fair enough. And the answer is, by the way, just because you say no doesn't mean like, oh, shoot, that's a problem. Now, that's a pretty low risk decision, right? You could kind of like, I don't know, I'm going to get home and look in the fridge and figure it out, or I'm going to stop by
a
restaurant
better
or whatever.
Do you know how much money is in your bank accounts right now?
Okay. I mean, I think it's interestingly relevant. At the same time, it's driving at a slightly different part of what I'm personally thinking in this one.
Okay, what's your angle? Explain your angle here.
So my angle is, I want to get a sense of, do you realize that there are things in the future and that you are going to need to account for? Okay, so let's say, for example, if you are married and have no kids, do you plan on having kids?
Right, because kids are an expense.
Right, and then also, do you live in a place where, how will you accommodate the kids? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting is once a couple gets pregnant, then all of a sudden these decisions start to like ramp up because, you know what? There's a deadline now and it's coming and it's outside of my control. And so we better start doing some stuff to make sure this happens. But it's amazing how people will still wait until the last minute.
It's true.
Some people will just wait until like, shoot, we're bringing a kid home and we don't have a car seat. We don't have a crib. Like, we're not ready for this. And it's like, no, you are not. But mm-hmm. it's not like you didn't see it coming.
Right.
And so there's a question of, did you pay attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you have? Let's say you have a two-year-old. Are they going to go to school? Probably so. But that's not the thing you're planning for. The question is, when they get done with high school, do you think they'll continue on with school?
Yeah.
And is that something that you would like to be able to financially help them achieve?
Yeah. One like little side note, pro tip for people, go do like an investment calculator and punch in like, hey, I've got a kid, they're 2 years old. And by the age of 30, if I put $50 a month into an account for them that gets market-like returns, what does that mean for them when they're 30 years old?
And it's a pretty big deal.
Right, exactly. And so it's exactly what you're talking about. It's like, are you planning for those things? And it doesn't have to be like, oh, I've got to wrangle $20,000 today for my kid 30 years from now.
Not
no.
at all.
But a lot of people don't think about the small things that end up making a huge impact in that person's life.
And this is the small. So I want to do some more testing. We're going to come back to this concept of small things. And we're also going to fit into something that, Matthew, you've talked about this a lot before.
Okay.
The idea that if I can cash flow it, I can afford it.
Okay. Yeah.
So I want you to just make a mental note of that comment because we're going to come back to it. If I can cash flow it, I can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's think about what are some of the other things that you know are on the horizon that you need to pay attention to.
Like, right.
Hey, I have a car and I drive it all the time and maybe I have car payments. Okay. Is the car going to last as long as the payments do?
Mm. Yeah.
Think about what I just said. Is the car going to last as long as the payments? Because you know what sucks? Having a car that's out of warranty and something breaks and you're still making payments for it and you're paying to fix it.
But the person doesn't have the emergency savings laying around to be able to even fix it. So now they're stuck with a liability, a payment.
Now we're going to put a pin in this idea.
Oof.
The idea of where did that car fit in the budget?
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a question of, can I afford it? And then there's also a question of, did I calculate everything properly?
Right, and can I afford it versus can I make a payment are two wildly different things that I think people often blur the line between.
Well, and again, we'll come back to you. Right now, we have two things to come back to.
All right.
Okay? The tiny decisions and the can I afford it.
Let's do that. Let's talk about it.
Okay, so those are both significant elements. But this first segment here, I'm trying to get you to think about, there are things that you know are coming up. Mm-hmm. What are the things that you know are coming up that you're going to have to spend money on?
Okay.
Like, hey, do you have
property taxes.
Yes.
Yeah, like, right. Yo.
Well, if you're renting, maybe not. But mm-hmm. can you anticipate that a year from now, will your rent increase?
Right.
Okay, that's oftentimes pretty predictable, yep. especially in Oregon, because they say, hey, you can't increase rent more than 6%, which is the same as saying, expect a 6% rent increase mm-hmm. most of the time.
Yeah.
Okay? Maybe not always. Maybe you got a great landlord and that's not the case. But it would be reasonable to think along those lines that this is likely to increase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you're a homeowner, what about the lifespan of different things within your home? Stuff breaks and wears out.
I think a big one's like a roof. You know,
one,
and
yes.
a lot of people are like, oh, you know.
Especially if you bought a house that's already, that you know, it was built before you got there.
Mm-hmm.
What's the life left of those components?
I was like actually looking at that the other day. I was flipping through all, because I save everything on my house, whether mm-hmm. it's the owner's manual to the dishwasher or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was flipping through the paperwork and I'm like, oh, the roof is 10 years. So in 20 years or less, I'm going to be replacing it. What's that cost? You got to have that in the back of your mind.
Yes. So these are future expenses,
mm-hmm.
but there's also future desires, things that you're hoping will happen in the future, right?
And
so
here comes
that's part of planning.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
part of planning. It's like, I'd like to be able to do these things, so how can I accommodate for them? Now, remember I told you we're going to come back to these two questions, right?
Yeah.
The tiny habits and then can I afford it? Well, we will, but I'm looking at the clock. We're going to come back to that after
wow.
this break.
Okay.
So... but I need you to stick around. Like, if you want that question of the biggie, I think the micro habit concept
mm-hmm.
could really impact people for the positive. So I want you to stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show. Dave Littlejohn in studio with...
Matt Dixon.
Matt's like, oh, wait, we're back on.
Yeah, we're live.
Yeah,
we're
technical
going
stuff
for
behind
it.
The scenes. You know, we are once again experimenting with live streaming on YouTube. It's what we do.
Yep.
So, Matt.
Yeah.
Why... did I start with this questioning for everybody?
I think because what you're trying to set people up is this moment of self-examination where it's like, wait a minute, like I'm hearing all these things and I'm starting to wonder, like, is this me, right? Like, am I the person that is kind of being a little short-sighted or no, I'm doing great. So I think
by the way,
that
it has to be the person. Like you have to say, oh, wait,
yeah.
it's me. If you're saying, oh, I could do it, but,
mm-hmm.
or if you're saying, anytime there's a but or a because or this, what that is sort of a, well, let me shift accountability off of me. You know, the only environment I would suggest is I'm in a relationship where, yes, I earn money, but the other person spends it.
Yeah.
And that's a whole separate problem. And we're not going to get into relationship counseling right now. I'll just tell
you. Are you sure?
If you cannot be on the same page with your significant other financially and that person undermines your efforts, that is a real significant problem. That's one where maybe we could just, but otherwise, I think the first person you look at is you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are you being self-aware that...
that's a really,
I gotta own this.
That's
or
a really
not.
Hard one to like check yourself on because
mm-hmm.
everyone wants to like when it comes to the finances, it seems like either like shift the blame or like
justify,
feel sorry for me or
yeah.
then they're like, well, you know, I have a certain standard of living that I have to, you know, meet, and then it's like, well, you might have to eat a slice of humble pie because what you're asking for and what's realistic are two different things.
Yeah. And here's the thing that's really tough. The world does not owe you. And just because somebody else has tons of money doesn't mean that they've victimized you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's a really dangerous spot to be where what you're doing is I like the description of you're telling everybody else to clean their own room and you're not cleaning yours, mm-hmm. right? Oh, evil corporations and oh, you know, political leader this or that. And oh, because of my family or oh, because of the school or whatever else. It's like, you know what it doesn't seem to be because of is anything you had to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, well, before we blame everybody else in creation, have you first taken accountability for you?
Yeah.
I think that's a big deal. It's not a very popular thing to hear, but we are not in the business of creating financial weenie heads.
Sure.
Like we're in the business of being real.
Yeah.
And I mean, heck, Dave Ramsey is what I appreciate about it. Dave Ramsey just gives a system. He says, I don't even have to tell you about whether you're good, bad, or otherwise. Follow the system and it will work. And you don't have to really agree with it. You just have to follow it. Okay. What we're trying to do is say, follow the path. But you're going to have to administer your own discipline, okay? And the first thing is there's a get real moment of like, maybe it's me.
Yeah, what do you think kind of starts to come after that point where someone, it triggers in their mind and they're like, yeah, I've been really short-sighted and I would love to get better with finances or whatever. How do they start kind of taking the next steps into like the actionable portions that start to move the meter?
Yeah. Well, I think the first one, take an inventory. Start asking yourself some of the questions that we're asking is, have I really looked at what life costs? Mm-hmm. Have I fairly looked at what is a want versus what is a need?
Yeah. I mean, I remember a time where like what I used to do, and this was like in the very beginning stages of me getting better with my finances. One of the things I would do is I would write out a list of all of the things that I wanted, right? Mm-hmm. And so it'd be this long list, and then I would start to move stuff up and down on the list. And so what are the things that I really want the most? Because I think a lot of people have a really long list, right? That's normal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they randomly just take stabs at it where it's like, well, I'm just going to get this thing today. And it's like, well, that was actually pretty low on your list. You could have used that money to get something that you want more. And then from there, it was segregating out like, well, I know I really want this, but I know I need this piece a little bit more than the other. And so starting to balance things out where it's like, and I know we've talked a lot about it on the show, and I don't want to hammer it to death again, the wants and needs thing. But sometimes, you know, you can look at the cost of the item. You can look at whether it really is a want or a need. And then you're like, wow, like I actually really do need that thing and it's only $80 versus the other thing that's like $1,000. Let's go ahead and get that $80 thing and get it off the list.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think writing it down and being able to visually see it helps a lot of people because it's really hard to organize more than like three or four things in your head.
Yeah, I think there's some real wisdom in that. We've talked on this program many times about the idea that when you write something down, there seems to be a mental connection that's made at the mm-hmm. same time. And so creating a list is really valuable. I've talked about the idea of written goals
yeah.
on this show for years.
Yeah.
That when you put goals down in writing, it's as if you're giving your mind permission to start trying to make that goal a reality.
Yeah.
When and then it's just a dream until you write it down. And then it starts to develop as its own personality. It gets a deadline and you start yeah. working toward it. And then you get to ask your question, am I doing the things that get me to that goal or not?
Yeah. And one of the things I've noticed, it's maybe like a little pro trick here, is you know what's crazy? You go back and look at the list like 6 months later or whatever. A lot of the stuff falls off the list. And it's like, I wanted it in the moment, but I don't really want it now. And then you keep doing that long enough, and it's like, gosh, there's still this thing on the list, and it's been 2 years. I really must want that. And it's like, well, okay.
Or you actually don't. That's the funny thing. Like, you yeah. need to weigh that, too, is this thing's been on the list for a long time, but I'm not really pushing that to become a reality. It's that or it... I sort of cheated it onto the list
mm-hmm.
because maybe it's something that's so outlandish. You know, if you're like, I wanted $1 billion and I haven't crossed on my list, like, what's $1 billion?
Right.
You know, like some things when you talk about creating a goal, but it's sort of misaligned and unreasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about a stretch goal. I'm just talking about things where it's like, I'm going to learn to fly. It's like with wings or like in an airplane.
Yeah.
It sounds dumb to say it out loud. But actually, we need to clarify that. Some people will say something like, I'm going to learn to fly without an airplane. And then, no, doesn't mean helicopter, hang glide or something. It's like they think they can flap their arms hard enough to fly. To which I would go, okay, right? We are really not in the reality spectrum. And so that goal, if you seriously believe that, is going to become self-defeating because it's not grounded in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not here to crush dreams, but I am here to say, you got to get real.
That's a hard one when you're doing a financial plan for someone and then they throw out this goal and you're like, there's no amount of like magic that I can produce where this is a reality.
And you know, I've had to tell people before, it's like, I'm not saying you can't have this goal, but I'm saying I don't believe I can fulfill it for you. And if that's your expectation, I'd rather set the expectation now and just be like, I don't want to disappoint you, but I can't conjure that.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, it's like, no, we just need to make, you know, 140% return year over year for the next 11 years and we can do it. And I'm like, on what planet has that happened?
Yeah.
So, you know, I just have to go like, well, I mean, yeah, you've done the math. I just can't confidently say that I'm capable of it. So I'd rather not make that promise.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I that's what we mean about sometimes goals are, I mean, you got to, again, be self-aware enough to say like that goal is clown shoes, man. That's not, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So step one, self-awareness. Step two, what do you think gets in the way for people?
Pride is a big one. I've seen a lot of people that want to chase, you know, a lifestyle or an image where it's like, well, I have to have the name brand thing. You know, I can't have this, you know, used hand-me-down thing. I got to go buy it. And before you know it, they've just, you know, spent themselves into a corner or they've accumulated a lot of debt that they didn't really need. And then they strap themselves financially where it limits their ability to make like pivotal decisions.
Why do you think people feel that sort of pressure or maybe it's one of the, it seems like it's one of a handful of things, but pressure or entitlement?
You're not going to like my answer.
No, I'm not going to. I want what you really believe.
I really think it's been largely attributed to the uprising in social media, right?
Like, sure, that doesn't surprise me.
You started with the Pinterest boards, and it's like, hey, just save everything you can imagine that you'd ever want, and then look at it continually and like just lust for it and long for it. And then, you know, you get Facebook and, you know, it started, I mean, started with MySpace, but MySpace and Facebook and Instagram and all these ways to like compare yourself to other people. And, you know, you see the highlight reel moments. Like, that's the thing a lot of people don't understand. Like, you're not posting the pictures of yourself like sick, barfing and puking over a toilet because you got the flu. Like, you see people dolled up with all their makeup on their cruise or on their vacation. And you're like, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. And it instills this mindset of like chase this image or chase this experience that you see continually from all the people that you know and keep up with it. And what it does is it leads to just massive amounts of spending. And that's a really hard thing to overcome if that's your where your eyes are and where your mind is continually.
Yeah. Well, I do think the keeping up with the Joneses thing is a dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I guess really confuses me though is where's the transition to where people think even though they don't have the money to afford it, that there's somehow a right to attempt to get it?
I mean, some of this also stems, I think, from really good marketing. Like marketing's become way more powerful, right? Because like back in the day, where did like big businesses market? They marketed in a magazine or on a TV or a radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really personalized ads. But now you have your phone that's tracking everything that you search online and it's targeted ads. And they're like, hey, we know you're interested in this. Are you interested in buying X, Y, or Z? And you're like, oh, you really know me. And so then that stimulates a spend too. And so when you're constantly being targeted by ads and social media.
Well, but like, we're still skipping over a critical question on this one.
Which what's your question?
Well,
let me see if I can answer it.
I'm looking at the break. We're going to take a break. Here's the question, and we'll answer it after the break. The question is why, not how do people get incentivized, but why do they think that they should spend money.
I've got
they don't
a magical
have.
Answer for that.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to it. We'll be right back, everybody. Stick around. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And we got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240. Take you in.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hey, gang, welcome back to the True Wealth Radio Show, where we are tackling the difficult questions of, one, am I being real with myself about how I make financial decisions? And then, two, assuming that, yeah, I can be real, what do we do about it?
Mm-hmm.
So... I asked you a tricky question at the break, Matt, because you were talking about, like, I said, why do people feel like oftentimes this compulsion to live beyond their means? And you sort of said, well, there's marketing and this, that, and the other. I said, my follow-up question, though, my clarification question is, but why do people spend money they don't have and defend it the way they do, as if, no, I have to, or I deserve to, or I need to? Why does that happen?
Yeah, I have an answer for you.
I'm all ears.
I think it's because we've seen a decline in consequences, right? So go way back.
Such a zinger. I love it. Okay. Please carry on with this one. Right. Go on.
So think about it. Debt actually used to be dangerous. Go way, way, way back in time, like all the way back to like 1700 BC or so.
Okay.
So in early civilizations, right, if you became really indebted, there was severe consequences to you, right? Like forced labor was a thing. Now, they could take your kids, your wife, like split you apart and put you like in basically slave labor for up to like 3 years at a time.
Okay.
So that was like pretty serious,
pretty
right?
Heavy, like pay your debts back or don't take them.
Yeah. So like we'll take you. And Rome was the same way, right? Like you would basically become a servant or a bond servant. You'd be beaten on, imprisoned. There was a lot of horrible consequences. Fast forward all the way to today. You're massively in debt. You're not paying. You're defaulting on everything. You eventually file for bankruptcy. And... like there's situations where, you know, you can still keep your house, right? Even in a bankruptcy, no one's beating on you. None of this stuff is like, none of the bad consequences are falling on your shoulders. Like you're not feeling the immediate pain. And so there's like this theory of like, yeah, just keep taking on the debt and just make it someone else's problem. Max out the credit card, default on it, and yeah, your credit score will be bad for, you know, a few years, but you can build it back in the future. It's society's problem. And so then the government treats it the same way. It's like, well, just spend to oblivion. It's a rounding error. Print more money. To heck with it. It'll be fine.
I do need to draw a difference. I mean, people oftentimes, the government does not operate the way people have to. Right,
the
government has a printing
press,
and the government can have all kinds of bad behaviors and take out all kinds of debt. And we could have done a whole show. We talked about it. We could have done a whole show on whether or not money is even real today.
I just
but
had an
that's not the show.
I just had a listener give me an interesting point. I'll throw it on air. The listener said, "Hey, now in today's society, take it one step further. You're almost punished if you don't have debt because you can't get a credit score, and without a credit score, you can't really function in society." So society's prompting debt. That's a great point that our listeners are making.
It's fascinating that, because there's an element of truth to that.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of what makes the Dave Ramsey message so radical. It's like, what do you need a credit score for? You shouldn't need credit at all. Just pay as you go.
Yeah. Interesting.
Here's a thing that I also think is really dangerous right now. Really dangerous. We have political leadership that puts the carrot of debt forgiveness out there. So like, well, why not take the debt out? Because what if they'll just make it go away.
Yeah, debt is a big business. Yeah. We have all these businesses that want to reconsolidate your debt. Mm-hmm. And then, you know...
Well, I think about education is the main one. This one, by the way, really, like, it bugs me a lot.
Which
one? I'm
just going
to go. Well, the idea of people wanting loan forgiveness from the government for education. The reason it galls me is because I know people that because of financial reasons couldn't access education.
Mm-hmm.
And so they instead opted to go into the workforce, and it changed the trajectory of their life. And they had to make the reality, economic reality decision of what they had to do. And then somebody else says, I will just borrow the money, run up a big debt, and then somebody else will erase it for me. So my decisions were made outside of economic reality. And that, to me, is a terrible incentive. It's a lot like the idea that it's better off staying on some kind of state assistance than it is working.
Imagine,
like, if you get paid more for not working than working, I know why you won't go back to
social,
work, but it's broken.
Yeah, it's a social danger, too, mm-hmm. right? Because, like, what you're doing is you're giving a promotion, in a way, to all the people who got them, you know, oh, you were $200,000 in student loan debt. You made horrible decisions, and then you weren't able to pay on it. But we're going to just, you know, wipe that out for you and restart.
And
it's like, whoa.
And
like,
the thing is, the people
that's
that
a
did
huge
it right,
reward.
That are paying their taxes and everything else,
yeah, they get
the
punished.
Ones getting screwed.
Yeah.
And when people are like, no, it's not, because the government just prints money. I said, when the government prints money, you're getting screwed.
Yeah.
Right? For everybody out there that hasn't done the math, look at the amount of inflation we've experienced over the last 7 years, from before COVID to after, when we printed ungodly amounts of money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sit there and go, well, why are houses twice as expensive, but my salary is not twice as high? Well, I wonder.
Yeah.
Right? And there, if you don't know sarcasm, there it was. Right? I don't wonder. I'm just telling you why it happened. But the people that will bury their head in the sand and pretend like that's not what caused it, guess what? The very first start of this program, you're the problem.
Yep.
Right?
You're the person that can't admit that you're short-sighted.
You're not self-aware enough, and you refuse to see what the system is doing.
Yeah.
And so by definition, it's you, and you're in denial.
Hmm. Ouch. Stinger. But you know what?
Just being real.
We don't have to be popular if you're over there like, you suck. It's like, well,
I mean, here's the thing. Like, if that's your attitude, you probably don't have money to invest anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, guess what? You weren't going to be our client. Pound sand.
What do we
I want to talk to the people that have two brain cells to rub together that figure this stuff out, and they're interested in actually becoming financially independent and being additive to our culture rather than taking from
it. I love that. So what do we say then to the person who does have two brain cells to rub together, and they're like, yeah, like, I am being, like, semi-responsible. And maybe I'm not perfect with my money, but I want to do better, you know.
Well, let's go back to the two questions that I posited.
Okay, let's go back to it.
The first one is, can I afford it? And the second one is, how do micro habits apply?
Yeah, and okay? I think a lot of people need to get into their head, you know, the building of wealth isn't an overnight thing for most people. Yeah.
And the answer is, you may very well be able to afford it if you start early enough and often enough and you keep it simple.
Yes.
Okay? Now, let's talk about micro habits for a second.
All right.
What do I mean by micro habits?
I mean, I think it can be something as small as you have this habit of doom scrolling on your phone, right? And you change that little habit and replace it with something that... you're going to now...
Yeah.
I'm giving you an example.
Yeah. The definition, and then you're giving an example all at the same time.
So
right?
I give you the example first, so then I can explain it. Because if I explain it, you're just like, la-di-da-di-da, fall asleep. But my example was like, yeah, you're replacing some little habit with something that is more prosperous to you, right? And maybe that is the definition in and
well,
of itself.
So when we talked about this beforehand, just for everybody that's listening, I'm going to sum it up really quickly.
Sure.
Micro habits are tiny things that you learn to do, and you learn that habit, and then you stack a new one on, and then a new one. And so it starts with, I'm just going to do one thing. Like, if I just do one push-up a day, that's doable.
Mm.
Okay. And then after I can do one push-up a day, I can make it two. And then, you know, a year from now, maybe I can do 50 push-ups. But I start with a simple habit that's easy enough that I can keep doing it. Now, what Matt's talking about, and this is, I think, really critical, is there's a lot of people that have some pretty bad behaviors out there.
Yeah.
And what I would suggest, if you've got a behavior that's counterproductive, is first name it. Figure it out. Like doom scrolling. Great. I doom scroll a lot. Okay. If you catch yourself doom scrolling, what could you do to replace that doom scrolling with something positive? Even if it was to say, I'm doom scrolling, but I'm going to start telling the algo to feed me education instead of bubble gum.
Right.
Okay?
Or you just...
Yeah. I'm going to start growing my mind instead of numbing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I start with that modification. And then later, I say, you know what? I need to reclaim some of this time. I'm going to switch from doom scrolling to this other thing. What we're doing is we're habit swapping.
Okay? Yeah.
And so that's the concept, is taking micro habits and then habit swapping. And that can be a path out of addiction. It can be a path to improvement. These are the little things that you do. It's not giant steps that are insurmountable. Most people fail with their New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
You're making them too big.
Well, you know.
Right? Make it small and then keep inching forward. And before you know it, you've gone miles.
The addiction thing is a real, I think, hurdle for people who are trying to establish good financial habits, because addiction is often expensive, right? Like, it often comes with a spend. Are you spending a bunch of money on tobacco? Okay, yeah. You could have invested it, and it was bad for your health. So, are you spending a bunch of money on beer because you're an alcoholic and you could be investing it and you're still healthier? Like, we could go down a list.
And keep in mind, investing is not show up at Little John Financial and pour money into an investment account.
It could be.
It could be. But it could also be, I need to become more skilled so the marketplace wants my skills and compensates me better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
That's one that's overlooked a lot, is, well, you know, my job sucks, I don't make enough money. Okay. Are you worth more? Not just because you say so, but because the marketplace believes you're worth more. Develop value in the marketplace. And that's not what you decide. The market decides that for you. Okay. If your skill set sucks, the market will tell you, because you won't get paid.
Yeah. Okay?
So it's that or it's invisible. Both of them are a problem. I'm super talented, but I'm invisible. Okay, that's a problem. Or I have no talent, but I insist that I do. The market will fix that for you. It's not going to pay you.
Yeah.
Okay. So in those two environments, you're still the problem. So you need to improve your skill set and become more valuable, right? I'm just giving you tough love here. If you don't like to hear it, that's really not my problem.
I feel like the person who's doing really well is listening to this and they're like, yeah, you get them, Dave. And then they're going to get the link tomorrow off the website and then send it to the degenerate friend and be like, you need to hear this.
But maybe it's not a degenerate friend. Hopefully they're sending it to somebody they care about and they're just trying to say, this is what I'm trying to say.
Well, right?
Because I'm actually not telling people they suck, but your ideas might.
I can.
Well, your ideas might be ineffective, right? Like, you can have the idea if you want, but like, if it's not working, at some point you got to kind of go, again, maybe it's me.
Can
right?
we
maybe
incorporate the word degenerate more on this show?
Heaven's sake.
Let's get a little.
I want to stay off the Clinton radar.
No,
okay?
No. Let's get. I want to get a little bit more edgy and a little. I want to flirt the lines a little harder.
You don't think we're a little edgy today? I told half of our listeners, if you don't agree with me, you're stupid.
Well, I need you to ratchet it up a couple more steps where people are just like shaking in their boots, you know?
No, we're going to do this. Let's grab our last break. We're at the point. We're grabbing the last break. We're going to come back and we're going to talk. This is the last fun question of the day. Can I afford it? Well, let's figure it out. We'll be right back. I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
And you got True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
That's different. That's different. Welcome back to the show, guys. Home stretch of the True Wealth Show today. We're getting into it. I've probably made a few enemies today, or at least people that are disgruntled. Maybe enemies.
Think
a little
about
strong.
It like this: if you really want the show to just bloom, all you got to do is make a ton of enemies, and then they'll turn. You know, they'll
right,
tune
and
in
then post it on YouTube
you.
And watch the negative comments roll. Right.
Uh huh.
So, and that's probably what will happen. We'll probably be out there saying like, "No, you're an idiot." People are going to go, "You can't call me that. You're an idiot." I'm like, "All right, you know, sticks and stones, whatever." But I mean, financially speaking, you're either accountable or you're not, right? If you're going to play the victim game, it's going to be a problem. So let's talk about not playing the victim game and talk about how do you put yourself in the driver's seat using the things we talked about today. Matt, we've talked about things like micro habits. We've talked about habit swapping.
Yep, okay. Not chasing labels.
Okay. Yep. We've talked about, is your pride your enemy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a biggie. Now, let's talk about what are things people can really do to, and I want to go back to, what did we do at this first start of the show? We said, what are the things on the horizon that you got to look for?
Mm-hmm.
This is really basic planning right here, guys.
Build a lifestyle that isn't dependent on money flow, right?
Okay.
Like the cash flow thing that we were talking about. That's one of the things.
I need you to expand on that a little bit.
Yeah. Because we were
for
talking
our listeners, just like help them understand what you mean by that.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about how a lot of people just look at, hey, I've got $3,000 a month coming in, and my groceries are this, and my mortgage is this. So, hey, I got $600 extra a month. We're gonna spend it on four wheelers, right?
Yeah.
And so
it's the I can afford it in my cash flow, so I must be able to afford it in real life.
Yeah. So avoid that trap. That's one step.
Yeah. By the way, the simple add on to that is you got to do all the math. Right, you can't just look at the payments. You got to look at the other costs of carrying it, and is it going to hamstring you? And that's, I think, the problem is people do not look at the complete financial picture. They look at the one they want to see.
Do you want to know why I think more people don't do it? Like leave that $600, for example. That I think they spend up to what they make because they literally have no idea what to do if there's extra money laying around. Because it's just sitting there, and they're like, well, money's not any good unless it's being spent, right? Like, that is a mindset that a lot of people have.
I think,
so do you
want to
talk
to, there are some,
like,
people that have that mindset.
Yeah, because
I think there are people that also find themselves spending all of it and then realizing, shoot, why can't I save anything? But it's because it sort of gets frittered in the, well, it's there so I can do it, and then it's not there anymore because they thought they could do it.
A lot of people don't know what their options are if they have extra money. They think that the only option is, well, just leave it sitting in the bank. You'd be shocked, right? Like, we talked about this earlier on the show. Your brain works differently. You're a financial advisor. But a lot of people...
And I'm used to dealing with people that are willing to invest, which means the majority of people I interact with professionally do this. So I don't see the people that don't do it because they won't come
see
me.
But I want you for one moment to talk to the person who's like, okay, say you're right, Dave. Say I know that I'm being a degenerate and I want to do better. And here I'm finally doing it, Dave. I took all those first steps you gave me and I am saving $600 a month. I don't need specific advice to go out over the radio, but talk to me for the person who's in their car and they're like, I'm fired up. I'm ready to do it. I'm going to save $600 a month. And then what?
Pay yourself first.
Okay.
The very first thing that you do is put money into some kind of savings vehicle. I'm not saying what kind, because again, that kind
liability
of depends on your
land.
Circumstances and the way it works, since we are actual financial advisors that do this for a living, the rules are really simple. When it comes to this kind of content, we cannot give personalized financial advice. You have to call us and get it personally because it's customized to you. That's the way fiduciary services work. They need to be specific to the individual getting the advice. But generically, get some of it invested and working productively for you. And there is kind of a basic system here. Get enough in play that you can absorb unanticipated expenses. That's what the emergency fund is for. You have disruptions to income. You get hurt. You get sick, right? Yet something breaks that you didn't think of. That's what the emergency fund is for, is to cover those things so it does not blow your finances up. And no, your credit card isn't that thing. The credit card is not an emergency fund, because once you do that, then if you have another emergency, you're really screwed.
You just hurt the feelings of like 80% of America.
I'm willing to hurt the feelings if it gets
because
us the truth.
Because 80% of the country, I bet, is like, well, that is my bailout.
It is not.
Right?
I mean, it's
people
it's
need
what
to know
you're going
to
do, but what you're going to do is you're now going to carry that thing forward and you're going to keep paying on it and interest on it. So you're going to compound the expense. Why not have some money in an emergency fund so that you have the insulation to absorb something adverse and it doesn't blow you up financially, right?
Yeah.
It's called margin, okay? When you run a zero margin life, there's no room for error. Anything goes wrong or outside of plan, you're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're driving as fast as you go. It's imagine an icy road and you're speeding.
Yeah.
And one patch of unanticipated black ice, it could kill you.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe this is a little bit bold, but financially speaking, you could get really hurt because you're driving at the very edge of the envelope and anything that goes unanticipated blows up.
Yeah. So there's that person, remember, they're in their car and they're super pumped up and they are totally committed to this. Fast forward a year, they have been saving, you know, however much a month. They're really on track. Their emergency savings is great. They've got their retirement funds now being funded and they get an inheritance. It's $100,000. Wow, that's life changing. Like, what about that person? Do you want to talk about that? Or like, is it the same principle? Or like, how do people...
If you have a windfall that's in excess of your budget and your plan, then it creates flexibility. That's margin. That is the ability to do some things with it.
Right.
Now, the problem is if you treat it like a lottery, then you'll just blow through it. You won't improve your situation. You'll get to have fun spending whatever it was, but you're not going to move the needle any further. If you're tracking fine and you get a windfall, then that's exactly what it is. It just gives you the freedom and flexibility to do other things, to be more generous, but that's where it lands.
I think a lot of people get overwhelmed once the funds start to get to a certain point, right? And so do you want to like... do a shameless plug for the firm where it's like, hey,
these are great first world problems. If you're saving so much that you have to start giving it away, then you're doing fine. Okay. And I'm okay if that's the problem. We're happy to help you out with it. But for the people that still need to get to saving to those levels, here's the shameless plug because we only have a little time left. We do this kind of planning for people all the time. We do it on a one-on-one basis so that you're getting personalized advice. So you can give us a shout. Consults are free, 541-375-0898. You can also email. It's info@littlejohnfs.com, and we will get you hooked up. You may talk to Matt directly.
Oh, my gosh.
You may talk to me directly.
Give him my personal cell phone number.
We're not going to do that.
Okay.
But in the last 10 seconds, what we are going to say is we got to run. So until next time, I'm Dave Littlejohn.
And Matt Dixon.
Thanks for tuning in to True Wealth on News Radio 92.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.